Well, good morning, everybody. We're going to now look at the Word of God together. And I want to start off by reading just a few verses from John chapter 13, John's Gospel chapter 13. And I should say it will really help you this morning if you've got a Bible in front of you so that you can follow what I'm saying. But I'm just going to read a few verses from the beginning of John chapter 13 to begin with. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. We thank God for his word this morning. Now, it may be my age, but I have a growing interest in reading obituaries. There's a program on BBC Radio 4 on a Friday afternoon called Last Word, which pays tribute to famous people who have died during the previous week. And it's just the title that takes my interest this morning, Last Word. Now, here's a question. If you knew today was your last day on earth, and your friends, your family were around you, what would you choose to say to them? Jesus was in that position on the occasion described here for us by John in his gospel. They were some of Jesus's last words. But Jesus wasn't just trying to find a few memorable statements before he departed, or saying some emotional farewells. His last words were a sort of team talk, preparing his disciples for life without him, life that was to be a continuation of the mission they had embarked upon in the 3 years that he'd had with them physically. These would be crucial, foundational words, memorable words that would shape the way of life that this group of individuals would follow for the rest of their lives. And not just their individual personal lives, but also for their life together as a community. In a word, the church. These were to be words that, after Jesus's death and resurrection, would be revisited by the church many times and would prove to be invaluable in the shaping of the church and its mission. It's one of the most amazing things in the Bible, I think, that just hours before his death, Jesus was more concerned for the welfare of his disciples than he was for himself. And the words we read here are deliberate and essential, both for those followers of Jesus then and for us now. They are not just words for our devotional benefit. They are potentially volcanic if they are heard and adhered to. In John chapter 14, and verses 25 and 26, Jesus says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. In thinking and praying about the life of Seer Green Baptist Church over recent weeks, it occurred to me that there's something of a parallel here for us at this point in the church's life. We've spent 4 years talking and thinking about what the church and the church's mission should look like in the 21st century. Andrew has challenged, encouraged, and envisioned us, and now he's moved on. But Jesus hasn't. His words are, "My presence will go with you, and I will help you. I will lift the weight of the task alongside you." And into this new transitional phase in the life of this church, I believe we need a team talk. We need to hear again what Jesus, our Master, considers to be essentials for our life and call together. Now, you may be itching to get on with things, straining at the bit, and that's fine and commendable. But the words of Jesus that we find in these chapters and our hearing of them and remembering them is part of the practicality of the mission that we're on. So over the next 8 or 9 months, as we move through what I believe could be an exciting and challenging adventure, we are going to take Jesus's words in John chapters 14, 15, and 16 as his team talk to us, his followers, and apply them practically to our lives and life. Next Sunday, believe it or not, is the first Sunday in Advent. And through Advent, we're going to take lessons from John chapter 14 and hopefully tie them into our preparation for the celebration of the birth of our Saviour. Louise will be speaking next Sunday in the first of these. Then in January, we'll move into John chapter 15, and eventually, God willing, beyond Easter, we'll look at John chapter 16 together. How about that for planning? We'll see. So it will really help this morning if you have a Bible open before you at chapters 14, 15, and 16, because I want to take us through an overview of those three chapters. But at the same time, I am determined to keep this practical and applicable, okay? So here's the question. What does Jesus want to say to all of us? Us, all of us, being the team in Seer Green Baptist Church. Well, the first thing I believe he wants to say to us at this point is in chapter 14, which is, don't be afraid. Trust me. Those were the first words in chapter 14 in Jesus's team talk to the disciples then and again to us. Don't be afraid. Trust me. There was a great deal of obvious and palpable uncertainty in the room when Jesus spoke these words to his friends. They weren't altogether clear as to what was about to happen. And there's something of that for us too. For example, when will the lockdown end? Will it be followed by further restrictions? We're grateful for the formulation of a vaccine, but when will it be available and will it be effective? For some, there are employment and financial uncertainties. And what will church look like in 2021? More of the same? And if we are able to meet together again, will it be just the same as before, or will it change? And what would those changes look like? And how will I respond to those changes? If we make the changes, will we have the courage and persistence to carry on with them past the initial novelty? And how are we going to survive for 9 months at least without a full-time leader? So many questions, so much uncertainty. So it is essential that we hear these words of Jesus in John chapter 14 that include statements like, "Don't be afraid," verse 1. "I'm going, but I'm also coming," in verse 3. "Trust me," in verse 1. "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me," verse 10. "And I've made a way for you to approach him and know him," in verse 6. And in verse 27, "I will give you peace." The danger with church life and mission is that we can get so involved in the detail and working out practically that we lose sight of who this is for and why we're doing it. And so the next thing that Jesus reminds us about is in chapter 15. So we've seen, "Don't be afraid, trust me." And now in chapter 15, he says, "Stay close, abide in me." The answer to all our questions and the way through all the challenges of an uncertain future is found here in chapter 15, where Jesus says, "Abide in me, remain in me, stay close." We see that in verses 4 and 7 and 9 in chapter 15. Stay close, as close as you can get. And I would suggest to all of us that those two words or three words, "let's pray," "let us pray," become the essential, unmissable ingredient in every meeting, every discussion, every conversation that we have together as members of the church, that little phrase comes somewhere within that conversation or that meeting or that discussion. At some point, we say, "Let's pray together." Because practically, remaining, abiding in Christ means that we need to remind each other that this is all about him and not about us, not about our plans, not about our organization of things or whatever that may involve in the next year, but it's about him, not us. So I think the key is to talk to him as much as we can on every occasion. So Jesus's intention here in chapter 15 and here in Seer Green is that we, his disciples, are so close to him day by day that his life flows out of us and touches those around us within the church and outside the church. He says in verse 16 of chapter 15 that we've been chosen to bear fruit. It's part of our DNA as followers of Christ that we bear fruit, that we're so close to him and his life is so much in us that it changes the way we look and the way we live as fruit of the Spirit, but also it bears fruit in terms of affecting the lives of other people as well. And later on in that chapter 15, towards the end, in verses 18 to 25, we find Jesus making things very clear to his disciples, as Barry Cheeseman reminded us the other week is that this is not going to be easy. He was saying that living by faith is risky, it's costly. So we have to appreciate that. Jesus is saying to his disciples here, he's saying, don't be afraid, you can trust me, stay close to me, abide in me, because this is not going to be plain sailing. There are going to be issues that you're going to have to face, and maybe even opposition by some people. So, stay close, abide in me. And then as we move from verse 26 of chapter 15 and into chapter 16, Jesus goes on to make it clear just how we are going to do all that he has called us to do. He says, be prepared. Be prepared to encounter and be indwelt by the actual Spirit of God, Jesus' own Spirit. He says, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I wonder if, like me, you thought at times, if only Jesus was physically here, how much better it would be. If only he was here in the room with me. If only I could see his face. If only he could put his hands on me and pray for me. How much better that would be. How I feel envious at times of those disciples that walked with him during those 3 years. But here in chapter 16, Jesus is saying he's making it quite clear that it's much better for us that he went away, because then he could send the Holy Spirit to us, all of us, all over the world, rather than this relatively small group of people in a relatively small part of the world at one short period of time. He says, I'll go away, but I'll send the Holy Spirit, and he will come to all of you everywhere. He's going away. His going away makes the spread of the gospel everywhere wonderfully possible, because as his Spirit works in and through us, people will be made aware of their need of a savior. He says in verses, verses 12 and 15, that the Holy Spirit's work is to convict people of their need of the savior. So we need the Holy Spirit in us, at work in us, so that through us, people become aware of their need of a savior. He will teach us the way and open up the way before us. And Jesus finishes his team talk by repeating at the end of chapter 16 what he said at the start of chapter 14. He began his talk with, don't let your hearts be troubled. And he finishes by saying in chapter 16 and verse 33, take heart. I have overcome the world. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Take heart. And then he moves on from the team talk into chapter 17, which I don't think we're going to get to during the next year. But he moves on into chapter 17, where he takes up his position before the Father and prays for himself, for those disciples that are with him there in the room, and then for us, those who would come to believe through the spreading of the gospel. It's been said so many times during the past 9 months that these are challenging and unprecedented times that we're living in. That's true for all of us because of the pandemic and the restrictions that have been placed upon us. But it's also true, perhaps, for the church at Sea Green. These are challenging times for the church. The months ahead will, no doubt, present all of us with situations and questions that we've not faced in quite the same shape as before. And we will have to remember again and again these words that Jesus spoke to his disciples some 2,000 years ago and speaks afresh to us today. Don't be afraid. Trust me. Stay close to me. Abide in me. And be prepared, because I will send my Spirit to be with you and in you, equipping you for every task and challenge that you face. Amen.